preacher at the wedding. Good old African-American preachers, you know, but they got soul. They can get into it. So it's nice to have Colin and Faye with us today. Sue is here with us today. Nice to have you all with us today. And what a beautiful day it is. Out walking the dogs this morning, and I almost wished I had another jacket on. It was cold. Well, we have a few people in here who are in military. And when you're in military and basic training, well, one of the things they try to do is get you in shape, right, Ken? They get everybody in shape. Yeah. But they also teach you how to know your enemy, the people you're going to be facing. And today, what I want us to do is talk about our enemy as a Christian. We don't have any enemies as Christians. Hang on a minute. Yes, we do. Now, let me just warn you, this is probably not going to be something you can put in a test tube and test it. So it's going to probably wouldn't pass the test of scientific observation. But we're going to talk just a few minutes today about Satan, the devil, the enemy of our soul. But now, statistically, one of the reasons we need to talk about this is because the majority of Christians do not even believe in a real devil. You know, in 2009, 60% of Christians do not believe in a real devil. And, you know, this is, you know, a few years past that. My guess is it's probably slipped even further since that time. Why is that? What's that? The devil. Now, that's a good one, Steve. That's a lot of insight in it because he's doing his job, isn't he? And if he can convince people he's not real, well, he's winning, isn't he? Well, as for me, I wish that I could go into the Scriptures and somehow write him out of the Scriptures and get rid of him. I wished I could do that. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people that have done that. They went and explained him away as some influence, but not a real person. Well, I'm not smart enough, or may I even say naive enough, to try to explain the Bible away. Just accept it for what it says. That's an old Tennessee hillbilly approach to things, you know. Said it, that's good enough for me. We just have to believe it. So what does the Bible have to say about the devil? Well, let me just go over a couple of things here that the Bible says. The Bible says the devil is identified as the dragon and the old serpent in the book of Revelation. It's been identified with Satan and the prince of this world in the Gospel of John. He is known as the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience in the epistle to the Ephesians. He is the god of this world in Corinthians. He is also identified as the dragon in the book of Revelations and the tempter of the Gospels. The devil is even sometimes referred to as Lucifer, particularly when describing him as a fallen angel. That's some of the things the Bible has to say about this person, the devil, Satan, Lucifer. So why do we take a Sunday morning when everybody comes in to be encouraged and talk about this character? Well, we really don't want to give him too much credit. Let me just say this. I think there's a lot of preachers today in some particular persuasions that gives him far too much credit. All right, but what we want to do is at least recognize the biblical truth that we are opposed in everything that we do. The reason we're going to talk about it is because the reality is we can feel his influence almost daily. We can feel, let me just ask you, let's test that. How many has ever been tempted to do something wrong in the last 7 days? There we go. How about the last 24 hours? So you are experiencing His influence. And if we explain Him all away, then you open yourself up for a barrage. I mean, He could do whatever He wants to and you'll never recognize it. So this is the reason we're going to talk about Him today. Now let me say this. I do believe that God limits the influence of the devil in our life. We know at Calvary when Jesus died, according to Psalms, he was triumphant over everything. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is all powerful. He's the boss. So He can limit these things. Because the Apostle Paul said that there is no temptation that we're going to experience that we can't get through. Every temptation, as Christians, we should be able to get through those things. The only problem is we have to want to get through the temptation. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you're going to be tempted, it's by something that you want, right? You're going to have to want to say no and to move away from it. But God will limit that where He will not allow the devil to overcome you and defeat you. He will allow him to tempt you, though. Well, how do you stop the devil's influence in our lives? Praise God. That's a big one. Praise, praise, praise. But there's too little praising going on, Wendy. Too little praising. I think sometimes if we would leave our grocery list or prayer requests aside and spend the whole time praising God, we'd be better off. Don't you agree? Anybody here like praising the Lord? Doesn't it just lift you up? So praise is a big thing, but also there's a passage of Scripture we're going to look at today, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And I'm going to read to you from the New Living Translation this morning. That way it saves a lot of explanation. First, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You, Lord, that we can look into Your Word and we can learn in a better way how to know our enemy, how to respond to him. Yes, Lord, we know You have defeated him. He is a defeated foe. But we also believe that as we're getting closer to the end of to Your returning, that He's getting more and more active. So, Father, help us just to see these things and know how to respond. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. And some good information in that. We got to get the armor put on so we can stand against everything he throws at us. He goes on, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, against every evil spirit in the heavenly places. So that is proof positive, folks, that we're in a battle. You know, for Christians to walk around with their head in la-la land and say, everything's joy, love, peace, and gentleness, and all this kind of stuff, and we don't have a struggle to go through. That's not been my experience. We have battles we've got to fight. Everybody agree? Anybody fought a battle in the last week? You know, we've all been there. So we know that we're in a battle. Now, what do we do? Let's continue reading verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be able to stand firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth in the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So at the very end, it tells us we got to be praying people. We got to be praying people. I must admit, I don't sit down for an hour at a time praying, but you know, my thoughts on prayer just goes in and out throughout the day. When something comes up, I think of something, I pray about it. When I need advice, I pray about it. When I'm feeling anxious, I pray about it. When I'm excited about something, I pray about it. Praise the Lord. So we need to be praying people. But there's two things in here we're going to talk about that really jumps out at me. These two are this. First, the shield of faith. And secondly, the sword of the Spirit. It's the two parts we're going to talk about. You see, the shield of faith is used to deflect everything the devil will throw at you. Now, let me say this. That means everything. If we will take our shield of faith and hold it up, there is not one thing that our enemy can throw at you that he can get to you if you're holding up your shield of faith. Well, what's the shield of faith? Okay, you theologians, what is that? No, it's the sword of the Spirit. Don't get ahead of me, Wendy. Your belief. Your faith in God. Do we actually believe that you can deflect every temptation that the devil throws at you? Do you believe that? What was that? Oh, you know, none of us would be too weak, right? We've got to believe that God has given us the ability to trust Him and deflect everything the devil throws at us. Everything. There's nothing can get through the shield of faith. Nothing at all. Except your own desire. Boy, that's... There's only one person can really stand in the way of the will of God in my life, and you know who it is? I looked at him this morning in the mirror, and I didn't like what I saw. We've got to believe that God will allow us to deflect everything that the devil throws at us. Secondly, the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God or the Bible. That is your only offensive weapon. And it is a powerful tool, listen folks, to protect your mind. Folks, probably for the rest of this time we're going to be talking about the mind. Because the battle for the Christian life is won or lost in the mind. Joyce Meyer says, you got to think about what you think about. Have you ever sat and just let thoughts just kind of wander willy-nilly through your mind? What does it have a tendency to end up on when you allow that to happen? Negative. I think it's part of the fall. We go negative. And you know what? We're supposed to meditate on the Word of God, but you know what we end up doing? Meditating on the negative. Am I the only one who does that? You just play it over and over and over and over. Do you do that too? You're just defeating yourself. Folks, we need to protect this thing up here. This is the most awesome creation in the universe. It's the mind. Science is just now discovering that. You look at the complexity of the brain, and it is more complex than the universe itself. The human brain, that thing that God's put up here. Sometimes it doesn't work as good as it used to. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But, folks, we need to look after that. So we need to apply these two truths. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And recognize there's a battle to win. So how do we increase our faith and our proficiency with the sword? First, we need to understand our enemy a little better. Let's talk about him, all right? Satan has been characterized. Well, I'm not even going to read that. You tell me. You tell me how Satan has been characterized in our world. Yes. He's got his long-handled pajamas on. Pointed tail. He's got a pitchfork and ears. Now, folks, if you were to see that in a dark alley, would you go up and say hello? No. It would be scary. You would just run. You would just get away from him. But the problem about it is, he's smart enough to know he doesn't come that way. He's got everybody thinking that's the way he's going to be, but the truth is far different from that. Let me read something to you that the Bible says about the view of the devil. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. You know what hit me immediately? Do you know anybody who's been seeing angels of light or light beings? You know these people who have out-of-body experiences and they see this being of light? Sometimes I wonder about that. Folks, he disguises himself as an angel of light. And if you and I saw a bright light in a dark area, it wouldn't scare us. We'd be drawn to it. Satan disguises himself that way. Now let's go back to our mother Eve. In her conversation with Satan, she was not frightened or even nervous. All she knew, she was talking to an animal. Serpent, whatever that was. I think maybe she should have been a little more cautious, don't you think? Because you know the result. She listened. And the devil's attack was so subtle, he pointed out things to her that would be attractive to her. And she said, oh, this sounds pretty good. And she took a bite. Why? Well, it's beautiful. It'd be good to eat. And this creature, whatever, said it's going to be good. I don't care what God says. That creature said it's going to be good. See the problem? Who are you going to listen to, folks? You're going to listen to the creature who's tempting you, or are you going to listen to God who's already said, uh-uh? But what do you and I do? Oh, just this once. Don't we? You got to listen to, be careful who you're listening to. But you know what? Although we know he can be subtle and deceptive, most of us would say, well, I would recognize him and I would stay away. Right? No. Let me give you an instance. Say you say or do something that's wrong. First of all, let me see if we're all together. Anybody here said or do anything wrong? Thank you for being honest. Anyway, when we blow it, we know that it's wrong. We know it's wrong. And if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit has already come up and went, Tony. And then I go, oh, that voice again. Tony, listen to me. Okay, I'm listening. You're wrong, Tony. You messed up again. Well, we have a decision to make at that point. Do we justify what we've done, though we know that we're wrong? Like, maybe I deserved it today. And we justify whatever it was that's going on. Or do we listen to the Holy Spirit and we notice that convicting power of the Holy Spirit that's telling us, now, come on, you need to get that right. Do we listen to that and say, okay, God, all right, I agree with you. I was wrong. Father, will you forgive me? What will he do? How do we know that? What promise? Somebody quote it for me. There you go. That's on your remembering list. If you got a handout today, you're going to find that one down there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit come into our life, we know we've messed up. Confessing means to agree with God that what we've done was wrong, admit it, ask forgiveness, done deal. But there's another voice. Oh. You think it's that easy, don't you? You think you can just go ahead and do whatever you want to and sin, and you actually think God's going to forgive you? Not a chance. Matter of fact, he'll never use you again because you did just that. And what do we go? He's right. You see the problem? Who are we listening to? Are we listening to the Scriptures? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or are we listening to the condemnation of the devil who says God will never be able to use you again? Who do you listen to? The battle for the Christian life is won or lost right there. So are we going to believe the promises of God? Believe, or the shield of faith. If you have that shield of faith lifted and using it whenever Satan throws that little condemnation at you, just knock it off and say, no, I will not listen to that. But you see, the Holy Spirit will convict us of a sin and forgiveness. Satan will condemn us of our sin. Where there's no recovery, you're condemned. Now, I'm going to say this, Christians, all the Christians listening to me. Often there are well-meaning Christians who will not forgive someone else's wrong either. And they constantly bring it up. Those Christians are actually being the voice of the devil in your life. Don't, Christian, don't do that. If somebody has dealt with the sin, don't you dare bring it back up. They've dealt with it before God. Don't remind them of it. Because I think according to the Scripture, when God forgives us of our sins, God casts them as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? If you kept going east, when would you reach west? It's not north and south because you will reach one, okay? But east and west, you'll never reach it. That's how far God took my sin and he threw them away. They are gone. You ask God about it, I don't know what you're talking about. It's gone. There's another one, you know, the song we used to sing, he cast them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. As the song says, that's good enough for me. But he adds a little bit to it. He throws it in the sea of forgetfulness and he puts up a sign that says, no fishing. Leave it over there. But do we believe that? Do we believe that? You need to use your shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, because it's the Word of God that gives you confidence to defeat the devil and that condemnation he's bringing. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, there's something else Paul said. There is therefore now no to those who are in Christ. What does that mean? Does it mean no condemnation? Any ambiguity in that at all? Well, what's the problem? We got to believe it, folks. So just one little situation where the devil's condemning us, use one verse of Scripture, believe what the Bible says, and use the Word of God to protect you. And if we will use the Word of God, we can defeat him every single time. That's the shield of faith. That's the sword of the Spirit. Folks, I'm going to say this one more time, though. As Christians, let's make sure that we don't go fishing for other people's sins and bringing them back up to convict them. Remember this verse, and I know I'm just going to kind of leave it on that one. If we confess our sins. All right, if you know it, quote it with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a done deal. I remember the black American preacher that Julie told me about one day, and you've heard me quote this before, but since the guy was at the wedding yesterday, I'll quote him again. He was talking about if God forgives you something, his description is, you ain't what you did. In other words, that's gone. You're no longer that person. You're no longer accountable because you brought it to the cross. And Jesus has forgiven you when he died on Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ was shed out. It covered, it was sufficient for every sin. And when our sin is underneath the blood, it's gone. The sad thing about this is probably before the end of the week, somebody's going to do something that's wrong. And the Holy Spirit's going to convict us and we're going to confess that sin. And that voice will come on again, starting convicting us, and we're going to feel so bad about ourselves. When in fact, God has already forgiven you. Don't do that. Folks, you and I, listen to this. You and I need to live in the freedom that the blood of Jesus Christ purchased for us. We need to enjoy that freedom that the blood has purchased for us. Folks, that's the heritage of a Christian. That's what we need to do. We need to trust what he did. It's good enough. So in review, the devil is a real being that has every intention of destroying you and your family. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, what did he bring? Life. Secondly, God has promised that we are able to win over any temptation that the devil may throw at us. Every temptation. You can resist it. The key is you got to want to. You got to want to. Thirdly, we must believe that we can defeat the devil in all his attacks. And we can do that by trusting God's word and believing in him. And the key is, when we sin, make sure you agree with God it was wrong. Ask him to forgive you. And it's done. I really don't believe God wants us to live under the condemnation of our sin. What about you? I was just thinking back of a pastor that I had one time. Real Bible-believing preacher, but he was such a hard preacher. You can go in and he actually got the assurance of my salvation in that church, but if you hang around 3 months, he preaches so hard, he'll preach salvation out of it and you want to get saved again. There was really no confidence in the scriptures there because, you know, we are free in Jesus Christ. We're not condemned. We felt condemnation all the time there. The reason we could only last a year and a half and we got out and found a church had a little bit of love in it. But I don't think God wants us to live under the condemnation of our sin. That's why Jesus died, to set you and I free. Free. Wish I could think of that Southern gospel song, but it's not coming to me right now. Oh, by the way, are we sinless? No. But we are forgiven. Somebody say hallelujah. And an amen. Please stand. Let's bow in a moment of prayer, and then I've got one thing to say when we get finished. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of what you said. This is just one situation how the devil convicts us or condemns us because of our sin. Just one. He uses so many different tools. But help us to realize that we need to trust you in what you say. It will give us the weapons and the tools to defeat the devil every single time. He's subtle, he's sly, but we're powerful through the Word of God. Help us to keep that in mind. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we're going to have a business meeting in just a few moments. Matt is going to be here.